Ruffalo vs. Paramount and the OpenAI narrative that might be wrong. Mark Ruffalo, the actor best known for playing Bruce Banner in the Marvel films, publicly criticized the proposed merger between Paramount and Warner Bros. Discovery, linking the Ellison family's financial role in the deal to Oracle's business ties in Israel and connecting those ties to Israeli military operations in Gaza. Paramount's response characterized the argument as antisemitic. Whether that characterization is accurate is itself a matter of legitimate debate, but the effect of deploying the label in Hollywood's current cultural environment is clear. It functions as a silencing mechanism that carries real career consequences. Ruffalo has not backed down. The underlying question about the merger deserves scrutiny regardless of who is making the argument and how. A combined Paramount Warner Bros. Entity would control massive content libraries, theatrical distribution, and streaming infrastructure simultaneously. Antitrust analysis of such a combination, conducted by the Justice Department's Antitrust Division, focuses not on size alone but on whether the merged company could exclude competitors from accessing content, talent, or distribution channels. The Sherman Antitrust Act requires evidence of anti-competitive conduct, not merely market dominance, but a company that can simultaneously control what gets made, how it is distributed, and where it is streamed presents a factual pattern that regulators will examine carefully. Among the day's most confident media and financial consensus calls is the claim that OpenAI's executive exodus represents a serious, structural threat to its IPO prospects. The narrative is tidy, departing sales leadership plus IPO timing equals red flag. But a rigorous challenge to that claim is worth taking seriously. OpenAI's revenue model has been shifting. The largest and fastest growing revenue streams increasingly come from direct API usage by developers and consumer subscriptions rather than from the traditional enterprise sales relationships that a chief revenue officer and VP of sales manage. If the company is pivoting toward product-led and developer ecosystem growth, the departure of classic enterprise sales leadership could reflect a deliberate strategic restructuring rather than organizational chaos. What would need to be true for the benign interpretation to hold? The replacement CRO, if and when one is named, would need a background in product-led growth, experience at companies like Stripe or Twilio rather than in traditional top-down enterprise sales. If the role sits empty for 6 months heading into the IPO, the chaos interpretation strengthens. And if enterprise contract renewal rates, not publicly disclosed but traceable through analyst and industry channels, hold steady, the restructuring story looks more plausible. If major customers quietly reduce contract scope, the red flag interpretation gets stronger. Concrete signals over the next 30 to 60 days will distinguish the two interpretations. The confident consensus deserves to be held conditional on those signals, not treated as settled.